This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Jam-packed for you on this Tuesday. And it all starts out with Damon Day. Right before he goes and hits some infield, some ground aid, or some infield practice,
we're gonna do some sort of something. You know, it's that time of weather to finally kind of get outside and get running a little bit. So I'm sure the boys will be there with a game added today at 3:30. So against Midland Lutheran. I don't know if that's what they're still called, but that's what I used to call them.
Midland, yeah. So we definitely know they're called Midland.
Yeah, I just didn't know if they cut the Lutheran part or what the official naming is. But at 3:30 p.m., Midland Lutheran from Fremont will be taking on the Lopers up at Memorial Field. A little game added that we were able to add since losing the games down in Oklahoma. So free admission today. So just kind of, hey, enjoy it. It's going to be 70 degrees. Come out and watch some baseball. That's all I, you know.
Lincoln has spring break this week. Kearney not. I mean, high school, the high schools. It'd be cool if it was Kearney. They'd love this.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how spring breaks roll yet. You know, it's
like the hell you need a week off for.
Well, I disagree with you on that one, but
no.
Everybody deserves a week off. I haven't figured out why they ever make you go to the first 2 days of Monday and Tuesday of Thanksgiving break.
Maybe we can effort
an administrator on how the Monday and Tuesday before Thanksgiving, how come the Monday and Tuesday, we can't just get those two, it'd be what? Like now it's spring break, fall break.
Monday and Tuesday after, because you need a lot more recovery time.
I think you need Monday and Tuesday for prep time.
All right, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. If you'd like to join us on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, you can tweet us anytime at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550, and the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. We've got a pretty full show today. Damon will be here with us for a segment, then he zips off to the baseball field. Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal-Star will be joining us on the program. Talk a little Husker football and basketball. Big Ten tournament begins tomorrow. A couple of spring practices are in. And then we jump right back into the boys' state tournament. We'll talk with Zach Foster of Adams Central, Kevin Asher of St. Cecilia, Craig Newcomb of Bertrand, among the many area teams that will be competing. But Damon, more business today, but just before we dump both feet into baseball, is there anything you need to, as a co-host, fire off on today? The Browns went to Darrell Revis.
Yeah, I guess if you don't have an offense and you're sending your defense out there for 75% of the plays, you should invest in a cornerback. But no, actually, from a sports fan standpoint, it's March Madness time. And I don't know. I'll be on the road this weekend, so I'll get to see every conference tournament between. Now that's the only good part that I enjoy about March Madness is now there's something to watch on the television on all of our road trips. Because usually you get stuck with reruns of I'm a big DIY guy, so runs renovation and all the different renovation shows. So I'm excited for March Madness to come. I think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think Kentucky gets beat. I'm even going to go out on a crazy limb and say I don't think Kentucky even gets pushed within 10. I think this is one of those years that the basketball tournament is probably one of the bigger duds, and I don't know what it is. about the college basketball season, but it just doesn't. There just hasn't been that same zip or pizzazz, I think, just because everybody kind of truly agrees with me from the standpoint of it's going to be Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky's going to have to play really, really bad, and I just don't see anybody, not even the mighty Mike Krzyzewski and Duke University. But it reminds me a lot of UNLV, though. It reminds me a lot when Duke beat UNLV in 90. It's all setting up like that. I just think Kentucky's too strong.
You want them to get beat?
Yeah, I'm not a John Calipari fan. I mean, in 5 years, we're going to find out that all these guys got paid like $1.3 million for this season. Or you know, I mean, look what's going on with Jimmy Boeheim and all these things. So, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, you get the title, but we'll check back in 5 years to see if you get to keep the banner. So, I would love to see Duke. I mean, Krzyzewski beating Calipari, that's good versus evil. I mean, it's you know, it's all those things that you want to see in college athletics and see Duke come out on top. And I know there's a lot of people out there that think Duke's the anti, you know, establishment, you know, anti-Duke fans type of thing. But, man, Calipari is by far one of the shadiest basketball coaches in the history of collegiate athletics. And if you don't think of that, then you just need to go back and look at how many of his games at Massachusetts, Memphis have been what do they call? It's not eradicated. I know that, but vacated.
Vacated.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that he's, you know, he's not going to win 1,000. He may have won 1,000 games truly on the court, but by what the NCAA measure is, he's probably up to about 150 to 300 right about now.
Well, him and Jim Boeheim will be close pretty soon.
Exactly.
I think that whole vacating of wins is a farce. Now, in some, I guess if you pay the players, I don't know. I don't know. That's a whole, they're there. They won.
I don't believe in the vacating of wins.
Stupid.
I mean,
what point does it serve?
I don't think that the Fab Four deserve to have their Final Four banners taken down. I mean, I guess what are you proving with those? Because like you said, some team went home. Some teams dream,
and nobody else is hanging a banner.
Exactly. So
an asterisk.
Yeah. It's so. I mean,
we should have won.
Until these shenanigans or all these violations start to affect, like, you know, when you kind of get into like either paying off officials or point shaving or things like that. I mean, all this other stuff is just gray area that, especially like with the Syracuse thing, you know, helping papers or not. I mean, that's good. I mean, there's not an athletic department in the country that doesn't provide help. There's things called the Whiting workshops and all that. I mean, so it all just depends on kind of what you deem is extracurricular or extra benefits per se. So,
this comes from our buddy Monty. He says, "Good thing I'm not there this morning. I would join in the anti-Cal rant. Love it."
There you go. See, I think there's a lot of people out there that would agree with me on the Calipari thing, and I think Calipari is kind of one of the. I think when you look at college basketball, I think you put him in front of it, and I think that's what makes it dirty these days. That's what makes it feel kind of slimy, kind of.
Just because he looks like a mobster?
No, just because I think the way he talks, he's just such a used car sale. You know, he's just a fast talking snake oil salesman.
In the end, no matter what he does, he'll never be. I mean, his sporting crimes will never be serious enough to affect him. He is still going to get his paycheck, and it does. This is what it all comes down to. He can be as dirty as he wants, get every school into as much trouble as he wants, and until somebody takes the coach, whoever it may be, in this case you're talking Cal, until somebody takes him and gets his money, then it doesn't matter to these guys. They can use the system. At the end of the day, so their reputation is shot. Some of the guys don't care. They got their money. They got their house. They're living the high life. They can travel wherever they want. They have their friends. And it doesn't matter what their legacy was. They still have the millions of dollars paid to them by these big-time schools like Kentucky.
Right, and I would never be the first guy to even act like I would know what it would mean like to have those types of lifestyle or anything like that. But I always go back to the old when no one's screaming your name and you're sitting there in that big house and whatnot, what do you think of yourself?
Well,
usually there's a big enough.
You would think one thing, there's a hand few.
Yeah. Well, but that's what makes those guys
I showed you. Yeah, the system.
Yeah, I mean, those are the guys that
shuffling.
You know, yeah, those are the guys that have zero self awareness, anything, and no matter what they would have done, they would have. You know, you're just glad that they're just basketball coaches and not.
You know what they look like? Gary Busey.
Tried
to figure stuff out in his house.
Trying to get some respect back. But I mean, that's not for me to say.
Well, we were talking teams that you kind of want to win, and I'm looking on this 1-2 line. Virginia is such a I don't know story. Yeah, that'd be cool if they go far just because they seem like a good crew. I know a lot of people are tired of Duke. You hate Kentucky. Villanova right now, according to Joe Lenardi's on the 1 line. I talked about it a week or two ago. I keep liking Villanova in the tournament. They keep burning me. You have to think that at some point, maybe they're the team. There are just some teams that don't play well in the tournament, and there are some teams, no matter what seed they are, they make a run. Your twos are Wisconsin, Kansas, Gonzaga, and Arizona. I think you just... You hitch it up to Wisconsin and see how far Frank Kaminsky can take you this postseason.
You don't hitch anything to Gonzaga.
No.
I think they're the biggest paper. No. I think that they're
that
the biggest paperweight.
Sailing.
That they're until they show something, they're always going to be dogged by this. That's like when they were number one in the country. I was like, it's not a valid. I mean, they're not. That's just not. They're not a team that's going to do it. I mean,
congratulations for being consistent and running a clean program. That's
right.
Awesome.
It is.
But as far as winning a national title, they just
you're not going to
never even made a run.
Yeah.
Elite Eight's the best they've ever done.
Yeah, you know, and
God, would we love that in Lincoln?
And I probably go back to when you open it up for a rant about the national tournament or anything. The one thing I would like to bring up, and it's something I brought up to my players, is do some research on the Hank Gather story. Because that, to me, is NCAA basketball. That's the golden... I mean, now I'm sounding the old adage of, oh, back when. But that was cool. That run, because it made me think of it, because Loyola Marymount and Gonzaga, I believe, in the same league. And you said the farthest they ever made it, and I was like, well, the Loyola Marymount made it that far as well. But that was one of the coolest stories in sports. I'm sure you remember it, the left-handed free throw. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Bo Kimble,
you know, because those guys were out of LaSalle. You know, they both transferred from LaSalle from Philly. And so there was that big Philly basketball connection to the old Palestra, the hoops, high school hoops.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So long story short, but if you can find the 30 for 30 about it, or there's a kind of been some documentaries on it, that's what March Madness to me reminds me of. And that's why you keep watching it. But this year, I don't find any reason to watch it. Like you're saying, they're talking about the ones and the twos. And I mean, you got to be a pretty big diehard hoops fan to really understand where is Virginia coming from. I think I speak for the average college hoops fan when I say there's nothing right now that's making me jump out to want to go watch some of these games. You're going to watch them because they're the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last year you had a Wichita State. This year there just does not seem to be a lot of go out and grab you type of storylines. And I don't know if that's a good thing coming forward. The tournament's going to be the tournament, and people are going to watch it because it's the tournament. But there's no teams that I'm just enthralled with to say, hey, that guy can make a run. You know, Wisconsin, nice team. I think with Kaminsky, they can
good
make
individuals.
A, right. You know, I think they could maybe do something. You know, after that, you start to try to figure out who's 5 through 8 and who's that dark horse team. Maybe it's just Kentucky's been so dominant this year that there just is no other storyline right now as far as what is going to happen with them.
As far as the being the first team since Indiana to run the table, that if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. I'm not one of those guys that sits here and, boy, I want Bobby Knight's and that team's legacy to continue on and on and on. I know you. It wouldn't have mattered who it was.
Right.
Is the base of this little comment here is that I just wish, I think for me, Kentucky would have been easier to root for in the tournament had they lost one of these close games, one of these overtime games, because then you just said, you know what, they are the best team in the tournament, and you know now they're getting a lot of notoriety, but now they're going to get everything. This is the Triple Crown, hasn't happened in this long. You know, they're going to be bringing out things that haven't happened in this time period since 75. In 40 years, you know, this hasn't happened. What also hasn't happened in 40 years? You know, we've even had a Triple Crown winner since then, but you're going to hear that the longer this goes. I truly think, and again, I didn't think they'd run the table, and I'm not hoping for it. You know, because if they do it, it's history and it's cool. I do think Kentucky will get beat in the SEC tournament just because there's no reason for them to win the SEC tournament except to go undefeated. And that's what Calipari is going to push. You guys can make history. And will that pressure ever be too much?
No. I don't think the pressure is going to get to them.
Let's
bad night of shooting would.
Well, it has to be really bad, too.
Yeah.
Let's switch to baseball because I know you got to get on the road here and get ready for this afternoon's game. One question in transitioning here. How many teams make the MIAA baseball tournament?
8.
How many baseball teams are there in the MIAA?
14.
Should the 9 through 14 be in the postseason tournament?
No.
Okay. Big Ten tournament, first one. They've got to get rid of this. Because I don't like it, they got to get rid of it. But I think a majority of people feel this way. We're going to play these two worthless basketball games in the Big Ten in Chicago tomorrow afternoon. They're even putting the Nebraska-Penn State game on ESPN2. Oh, my God. Will that be the lowest-rated basketball game almost of the season of any Big Five conference? Because I'm just talking fan base, Penn State, and Nebraska basketball. Who's going to watch that? Besides Nebraska and Penn State fans, why are we playing this? You know what? If you can't make the top 10 of your conference, bye-bye. What's the point? You're not going to win the tournament anyway. And one out of 10 years, maybe somebody's going to run the tournament from that deep in one of these conferences. It's going to happen 1% of the time. That's not worth it to me.
No, it's money. It's just
how is it money?
It's just
In this instance,
you've already rented. Isn't that the United Center?
Yeah, but I'm just saying in the future. I mean,
right? No, but I mean, you rented the United Center. I mean, you sold the tickets. Your school probably. I bet you if you go and do the dynamic of it, the schools had to buy so many tickets. And I mean, at the end of the day, they're not going to do it unless it's making them money and somehow. I mean, ESPN2 has got to figure out: are we going to put on, you know, rowing or a bicycle event from the summer, or can we throw on some Big Ten hoops?
Put on PTI.
You know, right. But, I mean, that's kind of the
PTI.
But somewhere along the lines, they're making money on it. I agree with you. I think it waters it down, and especially when you get two teams like Nebraska and Penn State right now that probably don't even want to be there, in all honesty. But it's a money thing. That's let's face it. That's why 90% of everything's being done in the Big Ten, SEC networks, all those different types of things, because of money. And that's why they'll play the games.
Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. John is firing off another text to us at the NetPopper inbox. He says, talking about coaching and keeping that money, he goes, well, then maybe a committee should look at if you're found guilty of cheating as a coach and then each of your wins are vacated, then your salary that year should be divided up among your wins and the games you have to forfeit. Then you have to pay that money back to the school. A clause like this should be in every contract. Yeah, that ain't going to happen, though.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Hell yeah, that's a great idea to the common man, John. That ain't going to happen. Let's talk baseball.
Yep.
You had a good weekend.
Yeah, we did. 3-1 versus Fort Hays State. Hard-fought weekend. Interesting weekend. You know, all the way kind of around. Lost a heartbreaker on Friday night, 7-5 in extra innings. But really found a way to kind of come back. And we won game one on Saturday. And then Sunday, or game two on Saturday, was something I had never seen in all my years of coaching. Down 4. 5 straight singles and a walk, and Max Ayew walks it off for a 5-run 9th inning. So that was a pretty special W, and I'll be honest with you, I probably had the most stunned reaction because it was just kind of like sitting there. I was like, wow, that just happened. That it was really one of those you just kind of once you kind of got the first, once we tied it up, I was like, this is over. I mean, I just had, our guys just had that swing about him, that confidence about him. So that was a big win. And then Sunday, Chris Sievers came out and just shut the door. I mean, didn't even give him really a chance. I don't think they had an opportunity to score until like the seventh inning. And then he even actually ends up on the back end of a double play, you know, hanging in there on a tough slide and gets the out. And so overall, just a really good weekend. Really proud of our guys after a long layoff. Looked late on Friday night defensively for both teams. I mean, I think there was 4 or 5 fly balls that were just kind of missed or misplayed. But that's what you get in Northern baseball when you're not outside practicing. But I was really proud of the guys' resilient effort and just their ability to win a series at home, and that was important for us.
Are we past pitch count now? Are we far enough? I mean, you get him. He gets to throw the complete game, which is 8 innings because of the mercy rule here. But are you still in the dugout penciling each single pitch down.
Yeah, he was at 104, and he had about 8 to 12 more pitches that he was going to have to be efficient in that ninth inning, or we were going to go to our closer, Joe Smith. But our hitters kind of got it going there in the ninth, and we pushed five across, which I didn't even realize that there was a 10-run rule in the MIAA until the umpire looked at me and said, that's it. And I was like, oh, all right, well, okay. You know, because I was already starting to get some pinch hitters in and do some other things. And so it's a really good time of year for us to start to hopefully keep continuing to play better baseball.
This weekend on the road.
Northwest Missouri State. They just split with Central Missouri, which Central Mo is probably one of the, you know, premier teams in the league. And so we got to go down to their place, which is a tough place to play. Maryville, Missouri, a big football school. I mean, everybody knows them for their football. Baseball-wise, they're coming. They're starting to get better and continually to work on some things. So anytime you go on the road in the MIAA, I know it's the old coach's cliche, but, you know, their field surface is a little rough, and that's something that we usually have a lot of problems with because, let's face it, our facility here at Memorial is perfect. And so when we go on a road to a place like this, you know, we have to adjust, and we have to adjust in a hurry to the different types of playing conditions. And so that's something that it's always a concern of ours. But I think the guys have a good aptitude for changing. Our defense has been has probably been the backbone of our team so far this year season so far. And so Northwest Missouri State, they're going to pitch it. They're going to try to shut you down. And right now we're trying to swing it, and we're trying to put up some big numbers and do some big things. And this was our first weekend. I really felt like our offense had shown up and done what it's capable of, and so now it really turns into the, can we do it again? How can we step up and continue with good at-bats and continue to be disciplined? Because when we've struggled offensively, it's just a sheer lack of we'll swing at anything. I mean, you throw it up there, our guys will swing at it, and they're swingers. They love to swing the bat, and that's what we love to see them do. But we got to be controlled in the strike zone, and we got to be understanding what it is that we're trying to accomplish in the strike zone. So definitely looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to seeing some guys get some innings today who haven't gotten a pitch in a while. Our closer, he's an all-MIAA guy, hasn't pitched in 3 weeks just because how it's kind of fallen and how it's shaken out. So today's a good day. I'll be interested to see. Their coach said they're going to throw Johnny Holstaff, and I know that we got a predetermined script of who's going to kind of throw for us. So please come out and enjoy. It's going to be 71 degrees out.
By the way, people, his name is not Johnny Holstaff. That means they're going to throw somebody new probably every inning of the baseball game. 3:30 this afternoon, free out at Memorial Field. A beautiful afternoon for baseball. Go check it out. Damon, we'll let you get up there, man. Good luck.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, and then a little basketball with Kevin Asher, Zach Foster, Craig Newcomb. We talk St. Cecilia, Adams Central, and Bertrand State Tournament action. It's all coming up.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see this season. Get to Jerseys for all the NCAA tournament games, and you can win lunch for a year. That's right, free lunch every Friday for one full year if you can win the Bracket Buster Challenge at Jerseys. Get to Jerseys, fill out your bracket, and have it back to them before the first game. You can't win if you don't try at Jerseys, where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue in the Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal wins the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, If life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! You gotta be kidding me!
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Lots of sunshine develops through the day today as we head our way up to around 70 for a high. Winds out of the west-northwest. Meanwhile, stay at 5 to 15. Now with clear skies tonight, we'll head back to 32 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on an outstanding Tuesday. It's like no other, folks. Farmers, the 2015 irrigation season is fast approaching, so find out why so many growers are moving to the T&L hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. Don't waste time now. Maybe this nice weather, you've been able to get outside, check things out, see what's going on, and you're going, oh, I got to take care of my pivot system. Well, whether you're getting it ready to go for 2015 or you need to add one or buy a new one, T&L is still there for you. Their superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of their hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons you should see your local T&L dealer today. T&L Irrigation Systems, like no other. Ton of state basketball to talk about in the second half of the show today, but right now, our man Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star is with us. And Sip, better put on the suntan lotion today, brother.
I'm not. No, I don't put on suntan lotion. Too hairy.
A hat, some shades. We're going to practice. That's tomorrow, of course, not today. But oh man,
yeah, no practice today. I'll probably. I don't know if I'll even get outside much. We got to work. We're workers, right? You're a worker.
Yeah, but shouldn't we have to go cover baseball today or something?
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you just
say, maybe I'll get over there. I probably won't get over there today.
Just say, Hamilton, hey, Ken, come on, man. Come on. I'll help you out today. Let's talk. Let's talk a little football. Let's talk a little basketball. Since we'll get into football, and I like what you've written already, but just basketball. Where Nebraska's at? A couple of times we've been talking here. I don't like the I call them play-in games. I don't like that the Big Ten or the ACC or all the conferences that have went to 14, 16 teams. You know what? If you can't make the top 10. You know, let's just call it a day and move on. And Nebraska, Tim Miles is trying, and I don't think the kids have a lack of effort. I think some people think that they've given up. I don't think they give up. I just think that they have had all the luck that they had last year completely go against them this year. But still, it's ugly here in the last month and a half of the season.
Right, it is. And I think you're right in saying that they haven't given up. I think they're beaten down, though. So I think, you know, life is full of distinctions, and I think that is a distinction you make. Now, how does that affect them? It might look like, at times, like the effort's not there, but I think they're trying. I just think they're, you know, like Miles said after the game the other day, losing changes a guy, you know, and when you get hammered, you know, you just get beaten down, and it does change you. So he's right about that. I don't know. You know, they play Penn State. I think the odds are about 200-1. And I mean, I'm talking about official odds now. 200-1 that Nebraska could make a 5-game run to the championship, and that actually seems a little. Those seem like pretty good odds to me. I've said it more like 1,000 points.
Exactly.
Just because of what we just established.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, with us here. Timmy Miles he got so much praise last year. And again, I was trying to tell the folks, you know, rein it back a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
It's early and we love all this. And he's going to catch I don't know that he is catching too much criticism because everybody seems to like the guy. And you see that we got supposedly the best recruiting class that they've ever had. And you see that all these guys, for the most part, are back. I think David Rivers will be the one guy that with significant playing time that Nebraska may miss. But can we be extremely optimistic about next year, or now do we have to really rein it back a little bit?
Oh, no, I think you got to rein it back. I would counsel against being extremely optimistic because of what happened this year. I mean, I just think, no, I'm not saying to be pessimistic. I just think you have to take a more even approach. I mean, I think if you're a fan, your expectations become, let's hope they can finish in that 4-8 range. And, you know, and if you do that, you got a great chance to go back to the tournament. I definitely think you have to dial it back. Now, here's the thing. Nebraska fans are going to come back hungry next year because they've hung in there really well. It was a good crowd the other day, Sunday night for Maryland. There was great energy in the building. There were a few empty seats. You saw a few rows or parts of rows, but not many. It was announced at 15,856, and it's probably about what it was. So, I definitely think you got to dial it back, but I don't think you got to dial it way, way back.
So what do they do? Have you caught, or have any of your colleagues kind of caught a sense of what Tim Miles will try and do here in the offseason?
No. And I wonder if he's even thought about it when they have games to play. You know, most coaches, they don't – if you're giving the proper credence to your kids, you're trying to win every game left and not thinking too far ahead. I don't think you start that process till the season's over in earnest. Of course, every coach is thinking ahead a little bit, but he's not talking to us about it much. And, I mean, the thing I would suggest, okay, now here we go now. Time to coach, okay. But the mentality that he mentioned the other night really struck me as flawed. Where, you know, he said we're going to go into this season, you know, we knew we were a good defensive team, and maybe we just have enough offense to win a lot of games. That's flawed right off the bat, in my opinion. If that's the way they really were thinking about it, if I heard that right, you can't. I just don't think you can approach it that way. You got to score. They have flaws offensively, but he's got to do some serious soul searching as to how to get more out of what he has. And what I think is turn him loose a little bit more. Let him run. He doesn't like the decisions they make on the break. Well, during the offseason, he can coach that part up and, you know, school them on better decisions. And then I think also you can turn up your defense a little bit to create some offense. Now I'm going to stop because I'm not exactly Tom Crop, but those are, I watch the games and, you know, I mean, we all been watching, a lot of us, you, me, 40 somethings have been watching basketball for 25 years. It's not like we just stare at the screen with a blank brain. I mean, we can think of things too, to a certain degree, right?
Well, most of the time. I will have to admit that when I did read your thoughts there about cranking up the defense, that was one that raised an eyebrow because I thought, I just think Miles has used every, I mean, he can only answer the same question so many times. I think he's trying to find something to at least say to the media that hasn't been repeated before. So maybe that's where he comes off base a little bit. But I'll tell you what you just described about the defense and offense, that sounds like the football team this fall. Let's jump into that here. First off, I've got an old story because God, you can look at my co-hosts and our producers here and know that my file system here is just, not good. So right here on top, did anything ever come out of this students tryout for the football team last month?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. Nobody's asked until you did. I don't We would have to ask that of Coach Riley tomorrow. That's a good question.
Well, I just came across that old copy that, you know, when Brian threw it out there on the Journal Star that, you know, they kind of tweeted out they were going to have an open tryout, and then I never really heard anything more about it, so I didn't know if it partook.
I don't think they got a starting quarterback out of it. Maybe they heard about it.
I'll take Vince Papale. That's all we need here. But now, Sip has been covering the Huskers for a long time. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were probably there for Frank Solich's first practice, Bill Callahan's first practice, Bo Pelini's first practice, and now Mike Riley's first practice. Can you compare Saturday's first practice to what you saw with previous coaches and regimes?
No, I can't. I can't do that because I can't remember. but I would tell you this. I think most people would tell you, Doug, they're a practice, so it doesn't look all that much different than if me or you were conducting the practice. Okay. It's at the end of the day, it doesn't look much different. I can safely say that. It maybe feels a little different, with Riley. I mean, one thing that the reporters in Nebraska are really football savvy. And one thing we noticed, really football savvy. Like Bill Parcells, football savvy, and one thing we noted yesterday was that the music's way different. Now they got like island music pumping on the it's very laid back music compared to Bo. He would be pumping out, you know, Guns N' Roses and a lot of hard hip hop. I don't even know what you call it because I'm too old. I don't know what you call the music nowadays, but it was much louder and much more upbeat. Now, the music at practice is very calm. I mean, it's soothing, and it's turned down significantly. How about that for analysis?
Well, that's something that most of us wouldn't realize. There's no doubt about it. I always say, and I said it last week, and I said it again on yesterday's show, is fans just rein it back a little bit. The media that covers them every day has been waiting for this day, and you've been eager to write what you've seen and to answer some questions. But as far as what making stars out of the first day of practice, and there are fans out there that just go gaga. I mean, I was talking last year about A.J. Bush, and then all of a sudden, now, you know, he is, man, maybe he's going to be our next starter. I mean, it's one day of practice, people. But was there anything else that made you raise your eyebrow a little bit?
Well, the one thing I'd add to your comments is, Sean Callahan's really good at making analogies. Seriously, you have Sean on your show. Everybody knows who Sean is, Sean Callahan of the Husker Online. And he compared these first few practices to, what he said is it's like reading a book. And the first few chapters are just kind of getting into it. They're kind of boring chapters before you get into the good stuff. And there's just really, really, that's how it feels right now. There's just not much to go on. I mean, they're so early in the process that, I was talking to Brian Stewart yesterday, the secondary coach. He doesn't even know all of his guys' names yet. He doesn't know all the cornerbacks' names. He's about 5 days ahead in learning Mark Banker's defense than his players are. So he's not too far ahead. I mean, the coaches are learning. You know, they're learning players' names. They're learning the new coaches are learning the system. So what are you at? I mean, it's really, it's so early to make many meaningful judgments on anything. But, you know, Bush, who you mentioned, did look good on day one throwing the ball. There's no doubt about it. I watched him for 20 minutes, 20 straight minutes, and I probably saw him throw 10 passes, and I thought 8 of them were excellent. I mean, they were on the money, a couple tough passes into traffic, but well thrown on the money. A couple deep outs that were tough in a wind, into the wind. He's got into a pretty strong wind. He has a strong arm. And like Riley said, he's got a good release and he's a presence.
Now, you know, there's also Johnny Stanton and Riker Fife. And but if you know, if let's just say it's day one, but if you had to say who looked the best out of the backups on day one, you would say A.J. Bush. But what does it mean? I don't know. It's one spring practice where they didn't tackle anybody, and we're talking about 7-on-7. And by the way, Tommy looked really good. I think Tommy will continue to have a strong hold on that position.
Last second here with Steve Sipple, because I do want to touch on the article, that one of the articles that you wrote over the weekend. And I think anytime you bring up Josh Banderas, it's because he's a Nebraska boy. It's because he's a pretty good kid.
Yeah.
It's because he's already had a bruise with the bike incident, so he's human. It's because we have seen him play, from our standpoint, the guys here in central Nebraska with Grand Island and at least Kearney have went up against him, so they know what he's all about. And I've had a chance to talk to his dad, Tom, a couple of times, and he's about as real as it gets, being an ex-Husker and now having a kid on the team. But a lot of people, even while it was going on, saying, man, Josh Banderas is being not necessarily abused. I don't mean abused by verbal or physical, but the way he's being used as a football player. First, he's thrown into the fire. Then he's expected to be an All-American. And when he's not, it seems like he gets blamed for everything. But he seems right now that he's still hanging in there as strong as ever.
Oh, I think so. I mean, this is definitely, I mean, if there was a player this coaching change is good for, if you had to pick five, I mean, he'd be in that list. He considered transferring last year and, you know, for good reason. Like you said, I mean, there's guys on the staff, the former staff, that would tell you, I mean, they misused him, you know, they mismanaged him. They mismanaged his career. That's just not me talking. To throw him out there as a freshman, they threw him out there before he was ready. There's no question about that. Josh. Yeah, could Josh have performed better? Yeah, could he have handled it better? Maybe. But he's weathered the storm pretty well. Now he's a junior. The thing I'd like to mention, because here's what I don't like about the discussion. That whole bike thing, which is, it gets really old. It was such a overblown thing. And I know what people are going to say who are listening. Don't brush that off. It was irresponsible and immature. You know what I say? I don't want to get into it too much, but I'm going to say this. No, it wasn't. Because I don't think he knew he was doing anything wrong, so I'm done with that. I'm done with that. But I don't look at that like a lot of people do. He has a 3.6 GPA. He's a responsible kid. That he got tainted, and that's unfortunate. And I think that may be why he doesn't talk to the media, and he hasn't been. And if you know what, if I were him, I don't know that I would either. So I don't know. I hope he starts talking to the media again, but he declined interviews yesterday. Yeah. But the bottom line is, he's probably going to be the middle linebacker, and I'd be really surprised if he's not the starting middle linebacker on September 5th or whenever Nebraska opens the season against BYU. And I think he'll be pretty good in that system.
Oh, you know it's September 5th, Sip. You know. You've got
I always want to say it's September 1st. September 5th.
Well, Sip, enjoy this beautiful day, and we always love chatting a little Huskers with you. So enjoy the spring, all right, my man?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I appreciate you calling, and we'll do it again.
All right, buddy. Take care. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We need to take a break because we're going to jump into the state basketball tournament. Zach Foster, Adam Central, Kevin Asher, St. Cecilia, Craig Newcomb, Bertrand. They're all coming up in the next segment.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Back in time, a caveman, His name was Ugg. Mm. Got tired of gathering nuts and berries. Decided that meat was a neat treat.
Mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Dog now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat. All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply, west off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
A big Buffalo County Fair welcome to Alabama.
If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Coming to the Buffalo County Fair on July 24th, the legendary Alabama.
Dixieland delight.
Alabama's 40-year career has produced 43 number one singles, including 21 number one hits in a row.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh,
Alabama's music continues to reach country fans of all generations.
I'm guilty, love in the first degree. Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and a
get tickets starting March 20th on etix.com. Don't miss Alabama Friday, July 24th at the Buffalo County Fair.
At Big O Tires, we give you two ways to save big on your next set of tires. For a limited time, when you buy four Big O brand tires, you'll get your choice. Either save $100 instantly or buy four Big O tires and get a free all-wheel alignment and a five-quart oil change. It's up to you. Here at Big O Tires, we want to earn your business, giving you an instant $100 off or a free alignment and oil change. Tires service straight talk. We're Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where great deals are happening now at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep's award season event. Stop into South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or visit thinkmidway.com to see up-to-date, hassle-free pricing. How about the 2015 Dodge Dart? Brings passion and performance to the compact car segment. You can lease a Dart SXT for only $159 a month for 36 months. No security deposit required. Tax, title, and licensing fees are separate, or you can even finance at 2.4% for 84 months. See the dealer for details. Be ready for anything and claim victory with your Midway Auto Dealership. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, along with Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, or thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Let's jump into a high school basketball segment here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to knock off three schools here on today's program. We talked with Central Catholic coach Tino Martinez yesterterday, somebody that Adam Central coach Zach Foster is very familiar with. But because the girls and boys are in different classes this year, it makes for a different avenue here for Adam Central. Hey, Zach, congratulations and good morning, man. Well, let's try again. See if we can reach out to Zach and see if we can get him on the program. We'll double check with what's going on there. But Adam Central is set to play Elkhorn South. That'll be on the Breeze 94.5 FM, and that is at 8:45 on Thursday night at the Bob Devaney Sports Center. A win there would put them into the semifinals against either Gretna or Mount Michael. So Adam Central, and they're looking for their first win at the state tournament, which is, again, hard to believe. This is a basketball team that has had a very proud tradition, but they bounce back and forth between classes B and C, and they're looking to make a run here in B. They beat Hastings High and Aurora in the districts, and we'll head on to the state tournament. They did have a couple of losses there to St. Cecilia and Kearney Catholic towards the end of the season after the conference tournament, so they have been tested. They go into the state tournament with a record of 21-4, and not overly balanced. They've got the sophomore David Bolin as their leading scorer. We talked with Coach earlier on this season about his Adam Central Patriots and how things were going with them as they ran through the conference tournament and looked really, really good doing that. But balance is a key for this basketball team as they get ready for the state tournament. So Adam Central will be the night game at the Devaney Center coming up on Thursday night, and that will get underway at 8:45. Also, St. Cecilia will play right before that on the breeze. Their game is at Lincoln Northeast against Hardington Cedar Catholic, and that will get going at 7 o'clock. And also on the breeze, we will have the Central Catholic game. That's the first game up, and that is at 10:45 Central Catholic and Shadron. Our triple header on Classic Hits 98.9 will also begin at 10:45 with Wilcox Hildreth taking on Exeter Milligan. That's at Lincoln Northeast. Then at 3:45, Amherst and High Plains will be playing at Lincoln Southeast, followed by Bertrand taking on Bancroft Rosalie at Lincoln Southeast, and that game will tip off at 7 o'clock. So those are our six schools that we'll be covering at the Boys State Tournament, and all six finals, of course, once again will be heard right here on ESPN Radio starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday with the Class D1 final. Looks like we've been able to get our connection back with Coach Zach Foster. Zach, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Well, looking forward to seeing some Patriot basketball down at the state tournament.
Yeah, we're excited with the opportunity our guys got, definitely.
Well, as I was mentioning here, as we were hooking up with you again, we talked around conference tournament time, and you guys were really clicking, and you are playing good basketball, but have suffered two of your four losses in the last month of the season against St. Cecilia and then a rematch with Kearney Catholic. Anything that you learned from those that you were able to fix during district time?
Well, I think both those games are really good for us. You know, St. Cecilia is probably the best team we've played in our schedule. You know, and we learned about what happens if you don't make good decisions down the stretch. We had a 10-point lead late in the third, and then they just kind of outplayed us down the stretch of that game, and there were some tough lessons we learned there. And then, you know, Kearney Catholic, we knew it was going to be a tough game and a rematch over at their place. And, you know, we just, I don't know if it was a mental approach coming into it or what, but we just didn't play up to our capabilities, I don't think, and Kearney Catholic played phenomenal. You know, it's always tough to play somebody a second time like that. You know, and in that game, the Kearney Catholic game, for the first time, I think, in the 6 years I've been here, we didn't score in the second quarter. We went a whole quarter without scoring. And obviously, if you play a tough opponent like that and you don't score, it's going to be difficult. But I think we did learn lessons in both games, and I think that they made us a lot better, to be honest.
Well, that not scoring hurts, and we could get that at every level. Let's talk about what's different. What do you think is different about your team from that night that you won the conference championship till tomorrow night? Or Thursday night, excuse me.
I think mentally, we just have a greater understanding of kind of what we have to do against the best opponents. And that's why it's great to play teams like that and play GICC and Bennington. You know, the games we've lost have all been against very, very good opponents. And obviously, it's cliche, but when you play people like that, it exposes your weaknesses. And I think, you know, when the intensity got ratcheted up in that St. Cecilia game, for example, there was a couple plays where our defense broke down. There was a couple plays where offensively maybe, you know, we turned it over or didn't get a great look at the basket. And again, your margin for error in games like that, and, you know, on this weekend, the margin for error is going to be very small. And so I think we just learned, you know, how we have to tighten things up on both ends.
We're doing a couple of minutes with our area high school basketball coaches that are taking their teams to the state tournament. Adam Central's Zach Foster is with us. Zach, a big deal was made from the fans and even a little bit in the media that it would have been nice to lose this tiebreaker when it came to the wild card points, that a matchup with Sydney would have been maybe more favorable for the Patriots. And I think a lot of those people saw Elkhorn South play at the Heartland Hoops Classic. I know you can give me some coach speak, but what did you think when the matchups came out the way they did?
It was interesting because on the bus ride home, we had a couple assistants that were watching all the point stuff, you know, going into the districts, and they all were telling us after the game that we're playing Sydney. I had Coach Carlin text me, says, "Looks like you're playing Sydney." And so it's basically 11:30 that night after we beat Aurora, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't think we're playing Sydney, boys. I think we got a tie, and we're gonna win the tiebreaker, so to speak, on Division I opponents. And so a lot of our guys were at that game with Elk South and SCOTUS at the event center. So we were a little familiar with them. We're blessed to have a coach on our staff, Coach Samuelson, who's from Gretna, who's very familiar with South. And, you know, the thing we told our guys is, you guys, you're in the state tournament. You're going to play somebody good. I don't care if it's Sydney or if it's Elk South or if it's Gretna or Mount Michael second day or whatever, you're going to play somebody good. And so all you can do is prepare the best you can and play the team in front of you.
Well, talk about Elkhorn South. We know Johnny Trueblood from watching him. If folks haven't seen him, if Adam Central fans didn't get a chance to see him, well, give us your scouting report.
Well, he's a stud. I mean, he's a flat-out stud. He is a great, great, great driver. when you think about their team overall, I mean, you think of him first, but you think of transition. I mean, all the coaches I've talked to have talked about you've got to stop them in transition, that they are just tremendous. They might be as good as anybody in the state, any class, at getting from one end to the other. So that's going to be a major focus, but we've been practicing all week trying to get back and limit transition from those guys. We got it scouted. They score about 65% of their points in transition. And so that's the number one focus for us, is figuring out a way to slow them down. Individually, Johnny, you know, Trueblood, like you said, he's a tremendous driver. It's really hard for one guy to keep him in front. You know, that game against SCOTUS, and SCOTUS is a tremendous team, and he had 42, and I don't think he hit more than one or two threes. So he got 42 either in transition or driving or from the free throw line. So trying to limit him in the half court and keep him in front of us will be a major task for us. And then Justin Costello is a sophomore guard that is just tremendous. And that's the thing. They scored 75 points against SCOTUS, and they had two guys score 67 of the 75. And so obviously defensively, everything we have to do has to be revolved around trying to keep Trueblood in front of us and then trying to limit Costello's clean looks from the outside.
And, Zach, as Tim Miles said last year, don't lay all that crap on me. I wasn't here. Well, you haven't been there the whole time at Adams Central, but the Patriots want to get off the schneid at the state tournament, and so every time you go, it's brought up that you could be the first team to win a state tournament game. Has it been brought up again this week?
Oh, yeah, of course. You talk to people in the media, and they always want to talk about that. I think that after we beat Aurora that night even, there's people asking about that night from the media. And so, you know, that's going to come up. And we just talk to our guys, you know, like every coach does about goals. And we've been blessed by God to have a great season and got great kids. And we've achieved a lot of our goals. We won our conference tournament. We won districts. And obviously, in preseason for our guys, when we asked for goals, the first thing they said is they didn't want to go to state. They wanted to win against state. That was one of their big goals. And so, you know, we've thought about it. We've talked about it. It's the elephant in the room that everybody wants to be that first team. And, again, it's not going to be easy no matter who it is. But we're looking forward to the opportunity, and we feel we have a plan in place that if we execute, will give us a chance.
Well, Zach, can't wait to see you guys on a Thursday night and hopefully Friday afternoon on the court both times. So best of luck, buddy, and a great season so far.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's Zach Foster joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. And coming up next, St. Cecilia coach Kevin Asher will be joining us as well. We get hooked up with Coach Asher. Want to remind you that a lot of places say they're both a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. One of the reasons, obviously, they're great flame-broiled buffalo wings, your choice of sauce. More sauces have recently been added, so if you think you've tried them all, think again. Of course, they've got the kids' menu. They've got salads on Tuesday. That is their lunch special, $1 off any salad on the menu. Lunch specials are served from 11 to 4, but great food is served all day long, 7 days a week, as we bring you great food and great sports. Watch all of the NCAA tournament action. Watch your favorite NBA baseball. Spring training is on. You can go watch some spring afternoon games and enjoy their extended happy hour with special prices on appetizers, long necks, and draws as well at the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill downtown Kearney. 888-455-3776. That's the number to get a hold of us at, 888-455-3776. Or you can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. Don't forget, our comedy clip is coming up before the end of the show as well, so stay with us for that. Also coming up, we will take a chat with our basketball coaches. Don't forget, Nebraska, as we mentioned already, will be playing tomorrow, and that game is at 3:30 on the Breeze 94.5. Taran Petaway was named a third-team All-Big Ten selection yesterday after making the first team last year and making the first team this year. The player of the year, Wisconsin's Frank Kaminsky, followed by Ohio State's D'Angelo Russell, who was also named the Freshman of the Year. Des Wells of Maryland, Aaron White of Iowa, Yogi Farrell of Indiana also on that first team. For Nebraska, Trevor Menke was also named the Sportsmanship Award winner. Each school gets one of those. Tri-City Storm is in action tonight. After tonight's road game, they've got six straight at home, but tonight they head down the interstate to Lincoln for a 7:05 faceoff, and we talked with UNK baseball coach Damon Day in the first segment, so let's take a look at what else is going on. Nebraska baseball, their home opener today, the first of 16 straight at Haymarket Park. You can hear it on 1230 AM KHAS. First pitch is at 1:35. Then they'll play again tomorrow at the same time, and Hastings baseball team is is in Omaha today for a doubleheader against Grace University. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. More basketball after this.
Wakanda Boats is geared up for your 2015 boating season. Bring the family to Republican City March 9th through the 15th for the 2015 Boat Show. See the new lineup of Lund, South Bay, and StarCraft boat packages. Ask Travis or Terry about show specials, factory rebates, and low-rate financing on 2015 boats. Catch the biggest sale promotions of the year on wakeboards, tubes, skis, and other boating accessories. Fishing seminars, prizes, and other sale events. Stop by Wakanda Boats Hometown Boat Show in Republican City March 9th through the 15th. Or check them out at wakandaboats.com.
Struggling to talk to aging parents about moving? Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village has the answer. Join us for a special presentation on Thursday, March 19th, and discover the secret to having the talk with your aging parents. Enjoy a delicious soup supper, personal tours, and door prizes. Call Hastings Village to reserve your seat, then come to the Villa Assisted Living on Thursday, March 19th. Seniors and their family members are encouraged to attend together. Seats are limited, so call Hastings Village today. Discover senior living at its finest at Hastings Village on March 19th.
After the storm passes, our job begins. With local claim service, Farmers Mutual Hail will be on the scene fast to evaluate your damage and get you back on your feet. With well over 100 years of financial stability, Farmers Mutual Hail is the calm after the storm. For service, stability, and satisfaction, look for the Cloud and Kroll Agency, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Contact the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Roseland, and Hastings today. Farmers Mutual Hail and Kroll Agency are equal opportunity providers.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to be a gold sponsor of the Kearney YMCA Shamrock Shuffle. Proceeds benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The YMCA Shamrock Shuffle is Saturday the 14th. Register now.
NP Realty. Developing dreams.
You got to know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk away, know when to run. And you never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough to count. When the deal is done, you got to know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk away.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Let's get ready for our Cunningham's Comedy Contest. Each week we give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Thursday night show at Cunningham's Journal, and what a great Thursday it would be to go in and hear from Lavin Williams and Open Heather Terman. That's right, the duo coming your way. There's two shows each and every Thursday night at Cunningham's. The early show, which is what the tickets we give away are for, begins at 7:30, but that's an evening show. You can come on early, enjoy the meal, and they have it all set up for you beginning at around 6:30. And if you don't win the tickets or just want to go to the late night show, which is always fun, it's Thursday night at 10:30 at Cunningham's. We're going to play a comedy clip here in just a moment, and what we need from you is the answer of what show, movie, or stand-up routine this is from. We will give you many ways to do that. It is up on our Facebook page where you can hear the clip again. All you have to do is leave your name, your contact number, and, of course, the answer to this week's comedy clip. You can also email the Dent Popper inbox with all that information, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or simply call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line at 308-646-0506, 308-646-0506. Here is this week's comedy clip.
I was going to get married one time. It's hard finding the right person. I was living with a girl for about 8 months until she found out I was there. And that was pretty good. My brother just celebrated the second. Get her down.
Yeah, well, if you don't know that one, you don't know much about, anything when it comes to comedy. Our Cunningham's Comedy Contest, call our Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, leave your response and contact information on our Facebook page, or email the Dent Popper inbox with who that was in this week's comedy contest, brought to you by Cunningham's. We'll be drawing out Wednesday afternoon and contacting the winner for Thursday night's show. Well, let's continue on with the Doug and Daddy show and talk a little D2 basketball. The Bertrand Vikings are back at the state tournament, and we're joined by the head coach, Craig Newcomb. They've got a tall task. Anytime you are the 8th seed, you've got a tall task. But, Craiger, when we see an 8th seed go to the state finals last week, I think that has to give everybody a little extra incentive. First off, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Doug.
What do you think? Have you already pointed that home to your boys?
Well, I didn't have to do a lot of pointing that out. They saw that pretty much on their own. But anytime you get down to Lincoln, any team's going to be tough. So, you know, seeding's just a matter of where you fall out on points. You still got to go out and play basketball.
Well, obviously, Bertrand has a very strong and proud tradition, but it's been a while since the boys have been to the state tournament. What was the emotion like going through the postseason?
It was pretty exciting for the boys. They realized it's been, you know, since 1996, since Bertrand's been to Lincoln. And, you know, but at the same time, they're pretty humble about it. Each step through sub-district and district, it was just, you know, down to business, and let's go take care of things on the court and see if we can advance to that next step.
Well, you guys have put together a 6-game winning streak here to end the regular season. Where have you seen the most improvement from your team, Craig?
Probably on the defensive end. It's about the middle of January. We were kind of struggling and made some adjustments attitude-wise at the defensive end, and the kids have really have really taken off from there, and that's helped us quite a bit get into our transition game, which is a big part of what we do.
Obviously, you guys had a lot of publicity with some big games from Jake Samuelson throughout the season. He put up some big numbers for your ball club. He's averaging almost 21 points a game. First, just tell me a little bit about him and how he has continued to handle. Usually, if you're the top scorer, you're going to get everybody's attention, and if you can get over 20 points a game, that's something special.
Yeah, Jake does a nice job for us. Obviously, he can put the ball in the hole. He's a big part of our transition game. But at the same time, when teams do try to focus on him, we have, you know, a handful of other kids that can step up and bear the load for him. And he does a nice job of distributing the ball because he's also, you know, averaging close to 4 assists a game. So he does a good job of getting the ball where it needs to be, whether it's him finishing or finding an open teammate.
Craig Newcomb from Bertrand joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm guessing a little bit about what you were talking earlier, finding roles and doing things had to do with the guys filling in their roles around Jake, and then Jake also understanding that he can't score 40 a night. You've got some other kids, and you're not the deepest team as far as having 14 kids on the roster, but you've got 5 or 6 that can go out and get the job done for you.
Yeah, we're pretty balanced. Like you said, any given night we have anyone that can step up, and throughout the season we've had, you know, different combinations of anywhere from 3 to 4. I think even against Elwood last week in the sub-district final, we had 5 guys in double figures, and so our guys just, you know, do what they need to do to get the job done. You know, we play 2 or sometimes 3 off the bench. And, you know, we just have a pretty good mix and good chemistry going right now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your first-round opponent in Bancroft, Rosalie, who was just rolling through people. Winnebago's the only team to beat them who's in the C1 field, and they've been ranked number 1 this season. But they did show a little vulnerability here in the postseason. Their last 2 games, very, very close. Has something changed with their ball club, or are teams figuring them out a little bit?
I think maybe you get to this point in the season, teams start to figure out a little bit. You know, we're pretty excited about the matchup. Obviously, being a 8 seed, probably a big underdog, which, you know, there's probably going to be zero pressure on us. We just have to go out and play ball. But the other thing we like is, as I watch them on film and get reports, they're pretty similar to us in the fact that, you know, they're 6'2", 6'1", inside, and you know, about 5'10 on the perimeter, which is very similar to us because we're not an overly big team. They like to get up and down the court, which we do too. So, you know, you know, if we come out and play well, it should be a pretty good matchup.
Got a couple of kids as the folks listen to the game on Thursday night, and Ken Appleton and Karsten Teets that both average about 17 points a game. But if you're not deep, they're probably less deep. I mean, it looks like they only run about six kids. Can you use that to your favor?
I think that could be an advantage for us. I noticed as our last five or six games where we started to separate with teams was in the second half, specifically the fourth quarter. Is, you know, we run about eight guys, and we're able to get some guys breaks during the game. And the longer into the game we went, our kids seemed to get stronger as maybe some of the other teams were starting to show a little fatigue. So, you know, we might have that going for us.
Well, I'll throw this out there a little jokingly, but it's not all jokingly. When you have 96 as the last team, it doesn't take a lot to figure out that that's kind of a generation. What about the ties there from the last team that went to anybody that's on this year's team?
I think the ties are few and far between. I think most of these kids weren't even born the last time we were at state. You know, there might have been an uncle or something like that was on that team. But, you know, the kids have been pretty in tune to that, so they know how big this is for the basketball program right now.
Well, let's play three down there, Craig. What do you say?
You know what? That would be awesome. The kids would enjoy it, and I think the community would rally around that.
Well, we'll see you in Lincoln on Thursday, and, hey, congratulations. Best of luck this week.
Thanks, Doug, and thanks for the coverage.
You bet. The Vikings head coach at Bertrand, Craig Newcomb, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'll have to be honest, I had to do a double take because we've been talking about some of these other teams. Wilcox-Hildreth has never been there since they've consolidated. Amherst has been there once since 1987. And Bertrand, who's been consistently good, just hasn't been able to get back there since 1996. Kind of a surprise there. So best of luck to them. Their game is at Lincoln Southeast, 7 o'clock Thursday night. You'll hear it on Classic Hits 98.9. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, we asked you if Major League Baseball should shorten their regular season from the current 162. And this is one of those that the fans, I think, are on board with. And 67% said yes, it should be shorter. 33% said no. There are a lot of these that maybe go against the fan. The fan is on board with this one today. Here's one for you Bears fans out there. Should Jay Cutler remain the starting quarterback for the Bears? I'll be interested to see how this one goes. Yes or no? Should Jay Cutler be the starting quarterback for the Bears next year? He's just a different cat. That doesn't mean he's a bad cat, a good cat, an off cat, a weird cat. He's weird. But there you go. So, Jay Cutler, will he remain the starting quarterback for the Bears? Do you want him the starting quarterback for the Bears? Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, we've caught up with the hunted head coach of the Hastings St. Cecilia Bluehawks and Kevin Asher to wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show today. And, Coach, good morning. Has a lot changed since I last talked to you?
No, it hasn't. If I'm hunted, though, I hope you're hunting, because I heard you're not a very good shot.
Well, there's in all kinds, on the court, in the field. Doesn't matter, man.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll start here, because we've had the fortunate over whatever the school may be, to where the girls and boys both make it to state. The boys' coach has to keep focused on his team, yet be supportive of the girls' team and go to the state tournament. So how did you work practices and everything last week with the girls in Lincoln?
Well, fortunately, our kids were real focused, and I told them that they'd have Saturday off, and we'd go Thursday early morning, 6 a.m., and then we went Friday early morning again, and then they had about a 2.5-day break till Sunday when we watched films. And you know, that's part of the piece of having success, and I think it really helps us sometimes just for our kids to go down there and it put a little zip in their step after Thursday watching them play Thursday night and come back in Friday, and you know now that, hey, it's a bigger stage, it's a little bit but better atmosphere, and I really you know, think it really is a benefit for, you know, your program outside of the fact, you know, your kids are running around Friday night, Saturday night in Lincoln all night, but that's a high school kid these days.
Are you worried about your past experiences?
Well, I hope they're a little more responsible than their coach was.
Well, we know a lot about, obviously, your program. We've talked enough. Mikey has talked with you enough with our coverage in Hastings as well. So we know you're deep. We know you don't have a senior on the team. We know you got a lot of juniors with your sons playing and their classmates that you have watched and helped grow here. But going to the state tournament without a senior, what do you have to watch for without a senior on this team?
Well, you could say that complacency would be the key word you want to stay away from, or, you know, being satisfied of where we're at, you know, earning a state berth. Extremely competitive group of kids. I've noticed that since they were, you know, in fifth and sixth grade, and when they traveled to these tournaments, they were never happy coming home with anything but a first place medal. And you know, you guard against, you know, okay, it's the last go around of a senior where they're, you know, and I thought maybe that would be a little bit of the point when we didn't know we were in qualifying, but I thought our kids really focused throughout the district tournament, put on three nice basketball games there. So, you know, you look at that and you look at your practices. You look at, were they satisfied, you know, losing that one game to Grand Island Central Catholic, and how would they come out, you know, later on in the season. You look for little bits and pieces throughout the season of, you know, where their mental focus is. And, you know, they haven't said much about going any farther than Thursday right now. They're just definitely focused in on that one game. And as we approach the state tournament, you know, it does concern me a little bit that Cedar Catholic has had, you know, two out of the last 3 years being there, and four senior starters, and a group that, you know, may have had a little more experience than us. But then again, I like our chances of taking this group down there.
This Hardington Cedar Catholic group is not a typical eight seed. Maybe one loss to Homer on their record that isn't what they would probably call legit. I mean, they've played Gretna, they've played Pierce, they've played Winnebago, they've played teams that have tested them. They've got a balanced group with James Kaiser leading the way at about 19 points. A lot of people talk about your height, your length. It wouldn't seem they match up that way. Give us a little scouting report.
Well, you've hit every nail on the head there with your scouting report. I'm glad you did your homework, because we've been doing that too, and it's been making us awful nervous with, you know, the competition level they played. They handled everybody they should have handled, and they handled them fairly, you know, squarely throughout the season outside of those powerhouse teams of, you know, that you mentioned. And this is a good basketball team. They've got strength inside with a sophomore that isn't going to show up like a sophomore. As much as you say sophomore, he's built like a senior. He's rugged. He's not afraid. He didn't back down from any of the competition level I've seen him all year in the Hillis kid. And then they go with Kaiser's their go-to guy on the perimeter, and he's definitely an all-state type player, similar to Eli Hunter, the Simrad kid from Davis City Aquinas. We faced, you know, kids that are the Lom kid from SCOTUS, kids that can just put up 25 any night. And that's something we're real concerned about, because they run a lot of isolation stuff for him, and we're going to have excellent defense on him. And I think they're kind of a team that as he goes, they go. They've got very complementary pieces. I mean, they really, really kind of mirror the team we have. They have a 6'4 swing man that, you know, can shoot the three if left alone. We've got the same thing in Derek Boyd. You know, I don't know if they've got a Zach Kitten in the 6'5 long athletic inside-outside type player, and maybe that's going to be our one area of advantage. But every other place, they match us really well. They play multiple defenses, which, you know, you never ever get in a comfort. It's different, a little different than us, where, hey, we're coming out and we're going to play man-to-man 99% of the time, and we're going to change our man-to-man from here to there. But where they're going to play 1-3-1, 2-3, and man-to-man, and they're aggressive in all three. They're kind of more of a gambling-type defense than you know, sit back and let you attack them. They're going to attack you and all their defenses. So we've got to be prepared for a multiple facet of things going into this first game, and hopefully your schedule and the teams you've seen all year and the different styles you've seen give you some experience. But then again, you're playing in the state tournament, and you just hope your kids are relaxed and go out and play and have a little fun.
Last question here for Kevin Asher, kind of a two-parter. I'll tell you, everybody talks about C1, but this C2 field, I think there are a lot of teams. Everybody has you guys penciled into the finals, and we're hope you're there. But any of these other sevens seem that they could win a game in here. And you are on, like I said to Tino yesterday, all these Centennial Conference tournament teams are conference teams, and you guys wouldn't see any of them until the finals. Is that a good thing?
Well, probably. You know, you see them once, that's enough in a season. Then you sometimes see them again in the conference tournament. But, you know, it's you're right about the C2 field. It's loaded. I told some people I wouldn't be surprised if 5 through 8 could beat 1 through 4 on any given night. And, you know, you look at the C1 field, it's very, very competitive in that nature. And you look at the teams that are playing in the Centennial Conference tournament, our Centennial Conference, you know, they've all got battles that first game. And, you know, it's not a typical, a team got in with a 10 and 12 record and they didn't play a real tough schedule just because they got hot for 3 games. These teams have been battle tested in C2. You know, we see ourselves as maybe a team that can go get 3 games in a row. But then again, I think there's a lot of teams that are probably thinking that same thing going into Thursday.
All right, Kev. Hey, thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and best of luck this weekend. Hopefully you're playing the last basketball game of the season.
Well, I sure hope so. This group of kids is well-deserving of that. We've got a lot of work to do, and we'll see how it goes, and we appreciate all your coverage throughout the weekend.
All right, man. Take care. Kevin Asher, head coach, Hastings St. Cecilia. The C2 final is the last game around 8:30. Usually gets tipped off closer to 9 on Saturday night. With that, we will wrap up today's Doug and Daddy Show. Been a long one, but we appreciate the coaches for joining us on the program today with Kevin Asher of St. Cecilia, Zach Foster of Adams Central, and Craig Newcomb from Bertrand, all joining us on the program today. Glad to have them all along with us. And also to the head coach at UNK Baseball, Damon Day, and to Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Of course, don't forget, if you want to watch some baseball today, Huskers have their home opener in Lincoln. If you can't make it down, it's on 12:30, KHAS at 1:30. And the Lopers are home today at 3:30 for a single game against Midland. Hastings College is in Omaha today as they play a pair of games against Grace University. I think that pretty much covers it all. Don't forget, again, the Storm will play tonight at Lincoln, so baseball and hockey if you're heading down there. The Storm game will be at 7:05 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer will join us tomorrow as they head to the D2 National Tournament this weekend, and we'll also have more on the state basketball tournament, so we hope to see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.